Well, my name's Sean. I'm a sinner.
And I'm Rick, and I'm a sinner.
And I can attest to that.
And I can attest to John as well.
Thank you. But the good news here is the worse your story, the warmer your welcome. Yes. And the good news about your mess is it can become your message. And so Rick and I are going to talk a bit about step nine, which is making direct amends to people whenever possible, except where doing so might cause harm to them or to other people. And so we were talking about that today. And Rick, you told me a story that you never told me. I was thinking about other people and when they need to make amends. And where does that fit into our spiritual life? Zacchaeus, I've talked about in previous episodes, as being a great example of this in our own life. And but you were telling me something you never told me before about your own experience with that.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it in a long time, but I think what I was sharing with you is that I became a Christian when I was 7 years old, and I got baptized, and I remember that very vividly.
You had been a big sinner before that. With some of your best sins, most spectacular.
Yeah. But I think maybe because of you talking about a wimpy step one, and then also now talking about step nine and thinking about Scrooge of all things, it reminded me in my early 20s when I was graduated from college and then thinking about going to grad school where I met you, John. I lived with this guy who was, kind of willing to confront me about things. And out of kind of the blue and out of these conversations, I feel like I saw the darkness in myself and the sin in me. In a way that I'd never seen it before. I think I've always kind of compensated for things with drive and ambition and competition and that sort of thing. And I was just hit so hard with the mix in my motivations and how I would, put on a front to look more together and more successful than I really was. And I had such a crisis, I literally called, like, it feels like everybody I knew to apologize for the ways that I had been and the ways that I'd, like, basically postured myself as being more together than I really was. And I think I probably had a very wimpy step one, John, if I think about it before then. And some of the people I called, they didn't think it was such a big deal, the ways that I was trying to make amends with them and share my sorrow for maybe not listening well or using them in some ways to make me look better or competing in kind of an ugly way. But it was a crisis for me. And I think of it now as my second conversion, where I really saw the mix in me of good and bad and the sin. I guess it was really, I don't think I was able to confront my sin very deeply at 7 years old. But when I was probably 23 years old. So it was long time ago, 40 plus years ago. But yeah, I can even feel it in my gut now.
You can feel it as you talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's so striking to me. There's just something deep in the soul. That's where the 12 steps weren't so much invented as kind of discovered, I think. And it's Jesus talked about it and saw it. James 5:16, confess your sins one to another and be healed. Did somebody tell you that you need to go to other people and make amends? You weren't doing the 12 steps then.
I didn't even know about the 12 steps. I had a degree in psychology, but I didn't know that much about therapy and psychology at that point. No,
so it was just kind
nobody
of
told me. It was very spontaneous. Starting with my girlfriend, I wasn't married yet. So just doing that with Sherry, who's my dear wife now, and my friends and I remember talking to my parents and I just like went down the list of anybody that I was close to. I think the thing that reminded me the most of this was Scrooge, at the very end of the Christmas Carol. He just tries to go make amends and be sorry for how he'd been in almost every relationship of his life. And I had my little mini version of that as well. And I think that's helped me you know, just dealing with my own pain, like you would say about yourself and so many people now that I've gotten to work with, to face your own pain and the part that you've played in some of that pain is a way to get healthy. It's the part of me that needs God.
So just, I don't know that I thought about this question in this way before, but thinking about, you've been seeing people in therapy for a long time. You've had your own journey with this. I was going to read something here, but I'm not. I'll read it some other time. When you think about what blocks us from God, from life, from growth, what's the relationship between the wrongs that others have done to me and how much, what kind of damage does that do, as opposed to the wrongs that I have done to others? And what kind of damage does that do? Because it's interesting with all the 12 steps, really, but especially 8 and 9, the focus isn't, what have other people done for me? I need to forgive that, and I need to come to grips with it some way. But the spotlight is much more on, what have I done? How do you think about that?
Well, I think they both are two sides of a similar coin. You know, when I think of forgiveness, I think it's, I probably would say, equally important to think about asking others for forgiveness for the things that I've done. And I also think extending forgiveness for the resentments and the bitterness that I have developed towards those that have injured me. So in therapy, it feels like they come up all the time. Probably more often, the easier way to think about forgiveness is asking for forgiveness, you know?
Well, let's dive a little more deeply into that. We talked quite a while ago. You can look back for this video, I think, in the archives. But you use the acronym CRAFT,
yeah,
where the, if you want to repair relationships, C is to calm yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
C is to calm yourself, and that's really important. If you're still flooded and agitated, you're not going to have a very good repair experience. R is to recall what happened in an event that caused a rift in a relationship. A is for apology. And you helped me to see, John, the difference between an oops apology, you called it, which is really, I'm sorry you felt hurt by something that I did, but I don't really think I did anything wrong. Mm. And that's not insignificant. I think that's a valid form of apology, but you contrasted it with a heartfelt, genuine, more of an, I sinned against you. You know, I didn't just have good intentions that you took wrong. I might have had some, you know, like maybe I wanted to lord something over you more. Maybe I wanted to kind of put a knife in and turn it a little bit with you. So that kind of apology is always more powerful. And when I think of really quality repair, reconciliation kinds of encounters, they often will have that piece in there. The F stands for forgive, both giving forgiveness, extending it, as well as asking for forgiveness. And then T, just to finish the acronym of CRAFT, was to try doing things a different way. Okay, mm-hmm. Now that we've done some repair work, how can we move forward in our relationship? And I think in some ways the amends part would be some of that. How can I make that up to you? And you know, when I think of that step 8 and 9, I've been thinking all along with your steps book and these steps devotions that you've been doing, is it's a little different than what I probably call the therapeutic culture, which is generally about how people have hurt me or wounded me. And this is a little harder hitting. Like, I've had several people tell me, John, when they're listening to these videos, they feel a strong sense of conviction. And I relate to that myself.
Yeah.
Like a conviction of, you know, just trying to do some form of a fearless moral inventory, sharing some of that material with somebody, and now looking at making amends, and how can I make something that I did wrong better. Like, it's a pretty, I guess this is just the brilliance of the 12 steps, right? I hear it more in your messages than I used to be honest. Like, you know, there's a pretty significant part in my character flaws that might be at work here. It's not just that I've been injured and wounded myself. You know, that's certainly part of it too. There's another talk that you and I did a time or two on the idea that I'm very fond of as a therapist, that we would own but not enthrone our emotions and our experiences. And I guess that hits me too. I've never wanted to be a therapist that encouraged people to just be a victim and to camp out in that. But I don't want to pretend that real things haven't happened to me,
right,
that were like kind of victim-y, that I was victimized. You know, a lot of times we are at the brunt end of somebody else. But I guess those were just some of my thoughts about all that.
So one more question. We'll talk about how you'll often do therapy with people individually, but then sometimes with couples. And doing therapy with couples is often much more challenging than doing it with individuals. For somebody who's thinking about taking this step, making amends, and it's so interesting to me that there was such energy for that with you when you had such a powerful experience of God in your life.
Yeah.
And if you think about couples that are really good at making amends, where that's a part of their life, they're able to do it readily and quickly and from the heart, and then people are couples that resist. What's the difference? What is it that enables somebody to move past the stuckness and to just be open to want to make amends? What's the difference between those two postures? How does somebody move towards that?
That's such a good question. And it hits me really quickly. The couples that are good at this, and it's not just couples. It can be a parent and a child,
friendship,
or siblings, yeah, or that sort of thing. Even in my office, the people who are good at it are very, very good at saying, "I'm sorry." You want to know how many times I've heard somebody say about a relationship, they never say, "I'm sorry." She's never said, "I'm sorry." He's never said, "I'm sorry."
Oh, wow.
So they're good at it. And along with it, they're good at saying, "I wronged you. I'm sorry. Here's how I wronged you."
Wow.
And if you can get good at that, and I absolutely think this whole steps, like experience that we're having with you is trying to make us look at that and have that become part of our character, you're going to have quality repair.
And it can't just be to try to smooth things over or placate. You kind of can't fake it. It's really got to come from the heart.
From the heart, including like I'm willing to deal with like your reaction. You know, to me saying, "I'm really sorry, here's how I wronged you."
Okay. So, your homework today, "I was wrong. I'm really sorry. I wronged you." Practice saying that, and then keep coming back. It works if you work it.
Hey, you just finished a video from our series Steps, which is based on John's new book, recently released, also called Steps. So you could pick that book up anywhere that you like to purchase your books or find out more information about it at becomenew.com. If you're someone that would like to start practicing, working, doing the steps with a friend or a small group or your church, we've created a web portal for you that should get you all the resources you need to get started. You can just go to dothesteps.com. We are a community that's dedicated to growing spiritually in Christ one day at a time. And a big part of that is prayer. So there's a team of us that meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for Become New and for viewers just like yourself. So if you have a prayer request, you can send it to us at 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time.